Okay. How many were in this morning service?
You weren't.
And this morning, were you in this morning service? Thank you. I thought you were there. Okay, which was excellent, by the way. And there was a part of it that I don't know if you remember, and I'm going to remind you when. Pastor Stan got a vision of idolatry, and then he shouted no. You remember that?
Yes.
And he shouted no twice, and then what happened? You remember? One person said no. Now, how many of you gutless wonders wanted to say no and didn't? You did. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Chicken, you did. Come on, raise your hand. Michelle did. Raise your hand. Come on. You did. Yes, 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 yes. Why didn't we? That was absolutely God. Absolutely Spirit-directed. So I'm going to give those gutless wonders of us a chance again, okay? We're going to say no tonight because we were. What did they say no to? Marla, what were you saying no to this morning?
I was saying no to. Well, I think Stan was saying that the world's going to call us to bow down and worship it, but then I started to say no because the Lord challenged me because there's idols in my life I'm not ready to, but I decided I was going to be ready today.
Do you hear what she said? Some of us might not be ready to be, which is all of us maybe, but tonight God's given a second chance. Okay? For us to say no now, this cannot be no. This has to be. Now, how does Stan do it?
No!
Thank you, Stan. Will you please come up and lead the no for us, chicken? Now, what are we saying no to? Idolatry in the world wooing us, and we want to make our stand tonight and saying, God, if I'm unable to say no, my no tonight means help me. So that I can say no when it comes.
Okay, so it goes like this.
No.
Okay. We no no. That was a practice. Okay. No. Oh, hallelujah. We did it. Yeah. Okay. 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 Now that settles it with God. I can go on. Okay. Part of this morning, as I was in the back praying about tonight and what to speak on, a pastor had talked about being inferior and feeling inferior and jealous and gossip and those kinds of things in our life. And the Lord wanted me to share tonight that we need to be reconciled with one another, but we can't. Until we first are reconciled with God and we know God loves us, and then we can love our brother and sister. So the Lord tonight wanted us to talk about God's love. You and I can never have enough of God's love. You can't come to the end of it. It is unsearchable. There's a height, depth, length to it that Paul said to one of the churches, you guys are abounding in love, but I want you to abound more. You don't have enough. You need more. And so tonight I want to look at God's love, and it's a Greek word, agape. It is not normal, natural. You and I are not born with it. We don't have it. It's something that God has to give us. And I want to look tonight at some scriptures regarding this love. First, it's defined. It is self-sacrificing. Now, are you born self-sacrificing?
No.
Is it the first thing you think about with your brother and sister? What can I do to serve my sister and my brother today? How can I lay down my life for my sister? First thing that enters your mind, huh? Yeah. Mine either. Now, my heart is, what can they do for me? Absolutely. So we need lots of help, don't we? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at John 3:16, a very familiar scripture to you. I can start it out this way. God so loved the world, what?
He gave
what? That too. So, what's the rest of it? No, put that away, please, for these kids. You guys start reading it, which means you're cheating. Okay, so you kids can't read up there. Now, the adults can, but you can't. If I catch your eyes going up there, you're in trouble. Where's your Bible? I thought you had a Bible. Oh. You are giving. Oh, you have sacrificed yourself. Oh, bless you. Okay, John 3:16. Conviction, okay. That was a good example of giving. Yanni, you're smarter than I am. Okay, 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave only begotten Son that everlasting life. Let's look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Now, we see in this scripture that God so loved you, he sacrificed his Son. Oh, 1 John 4, 9 and 10. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. Look it up. Okay, which one of you kids would like to stand up and read it for us real loud? If you don't, I will volunteer you. So, which one of you? Very good, thank you.
Okay. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us.
Okay, now what does this tell us about God's... Oops, I need the... Thank you. What color should I start with? I don't know if this... That one blue wasn't working. No, the blue... Who wants green? You want green. Oh, okay. Let's see if there's a green here. There's no green.
Green.
Oh, that's true. Thank you. Green. Okay. All right. What does the scripture tell us about agape love? We first read that God gave. Gave what? Who? To do what? What did his Son do for you?
Die.
Thank you. Why? Why did he die? We need lots of help. So he gave, and this is the first example of sacrificial love. I'm a parent. And I'm here to tell you, it'd be very, very hard for me to have someone take David and kill him for you. That'd be very hard for me to do as a parent. I can't imagine that kind of love. And this scripture tells us that God loved you first. It doesn't start with us. We didn't deserve it. It isn't because you guys are wonderful. Second point is it's undeserved. Can't earn it, can't lose it, it's undeserved. While you were a sinner, he gave you a Son. I think that's a form of love that is just amazing to me. And that love is real today. It still is today. You and I don't deserve it tonight, but he's here to give it to us tonight. I want to see how do we, is this verse defined? If you guys are right, doing now, how do we receive this love? Well, first one says if we believe in whom? Believe in whom? Who? Who do we have to believe in to receive God's love?
Jesus Christ.
who died for you. Okay, that's one way. Now I want to look at Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. Looking it up. Romans 5:5. Now, before we read this, I'm going to ask you a question. As we read this, it's going to tell you a source of God's love. So you read it, and I'm going to ask you the question, who it's saying is, all right? Yes or no? With me? Do you understand the question? One person nodded their head over here. Everyone understand the question? Anna, you understand it? Yes? Okay. All right, who wants to read it loud and clear? Bethany, you knew I was going to call and you wanted to just volunteer.
And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us.
Okay, what's the answer? How is God's love given to us? I heard the first word. Say it louder. Very good. Holy Spirit. Okay, that's been given to us. One way it's given to us, when we receive Jesus Christ, we get a seed of the Spirit because Christ's Spirit comes within us to save us. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at Ephesians 5:15-17. Ephesians 5:15-17. I'm giving them time to write their notes, okay? So. Okay, Ephesians 5:15-17. Okay, Chris, will you please read it?
Yeah. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.
Oh, one more verse, 18. Sorry about that.
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. And in the Greek, this means keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? So it's not a one-time act. It's saying every time we need to keep, every day we can keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the word being. Keep being filled. Ongoing process. Why? Let's look at Galatians. Galatians 5:22-23. They're writing notes up here, so you need to know, adults, I'm giving them time because I'm doing this for them, all right? So I want them to be able to read their notes when they go home. Okay. Galatians. Galatians 5:22-23. Everyone get it? Okay. Anna, will you read it, please? Loud. Loud. Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Why do we have to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because this describes what love is. What is love? Fruit. A fruit. Now, how many of you have ever planted something or know of something? Okay. How long did it take to grow? Did it grow overnight? What did you have to do to get it to grow? Louder.
Water it.
Do what? Sunshine. Then how long did it take to grow? Tomatoes? You grew what?
In your backyard.
Okay. What? How long did it take to get some tomatoes? Never got them. Those of you who do fruit trees, how long, Stan, does it take to get fruit from a fruit tree?
If you do it right, about 5 years.
And the Holy Spirit is telling us that fruit takes a long time to grow. We need to keep being filled so that we have this love growing in our life to where others can eat from our lives this love. That's what fruit is, correct? You can have a fruit tree that's growing, but it takes 5 years finally for the fruit to be there that someone else can pick it and say, "Whoa, this is an apple tree," or "This is a what kind of tree?" Do apples grow? Well, apples do grow on trees, right? I don't know. I'm not a farm girl. You can tell I'm a city girl. Okay, let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8. 35. Do you have it, Dimitri? You want to stand and read it? Read real loud. You have to stand. Just make sure you read loud.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall doubt, trouble, or hardship, or
persecution, very good.
Or famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword, or sword. Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Up to verse 39.
Oh. As it is written, for you sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the presence nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, what does this tell us? First, what does the word nothing mean?
Zero.
Excellent definition. Zero. Nothing can what? What does this tell us nothing can do?
Separate
us from what? Okay, now, first of all, is God a liar? No. He says nothing. Now, he gives you a list of things that cannot separate you from his love. First one is what? Is what? Don't look up there. Look at your Bible. It is still in the book you just read. What does it say? Suffering. What's the next one? It's hard not to look up there, isn't it?
It's a small print.
It's, oh, small print.
Yeah.
Oh. See, your Bibles are here for... It's what?
For child.
Okay. What was the next one? I got busy. Distress? Next one.
Persecution.
Come on. Ooh. Next one. Famine. That means no food. We don't know what that means in this country. Okay, next one.
Nakedness.
Next one.
Peril.
The what?
Peril.
Now, what does peril mean?
Danger.
Danger. Ever been in danger? No. Who said no? How many here, anyone of you ever been in danger? Yes. Now, was it hard to feel God's love at that time? Yeah. He tells you what in the book? He was right there to love you. You weren't separated from his love even though you were in danger. Yes.
It sounds like the fruit of his Holy Spirit is an imperishable gift.
That's right. That's one reason why you never can be separated, because the love of God is going to grow inside you. And as it grows inside you, all those things around you can happen, and you're going to know in here he loves you and you're valuable to him. And this does not change that love for you. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why it's a fruit. That's why he wants you to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, that you know God loves you. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what situation you're in, he loves you. Let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're going to look at verse 35. And we're going to go to verse 39. Mary, did you find it? Find it, Matthew 22. Verse 35. And read to 39.
Okay. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, what's God's order of love? What was the first one?
Love
God. God first. What's second?
Your neighbor.
Your neighbor as yourself. So what's second?
Yourself.
Very good. Yourself. And what's third? Your neighbor. Now, this is why it's hard for you to love your brother and sister, love your friends, love your parents, because until you love yourself, you can't love them. And most of us don't love ourselves. And tonight, I want to focus on God wanting you to know how much he loves you. Because without that growing inside you, you and I, the very thing Pastor preached on this morning, we won't be able to do. We'll continue to gossip. We'll continue to backbite. We'll continue to feel inferior. We'll continue to do the things that we don't want to do. That's why we need more of God in our lives, his love, his nature, so that we feel valued, valuable, and that knowing in here he sacrificed for us, and then out of that, I'll be able to lay down my life for you. But I can't. I'm going to continue to. I don't want to, but we're going to continue to. I'd like us to look at John 13. Are you kids, my kids, talking to, are you ready for the question I asked you? Okay. John 13.
Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
Okay, now Jesus comes on the scene and he says that I want you to love one another. How? Have I loved you? I have loved you. So that means I need to get back into Jesus' presence and say, Lord, I need you to love me so that I can love my brother. Because right now I don't love my brother. Right now I don't love my friend. Right now I don't like my parents too well. So I need you, Jesus, to give me your love so that I can do the very thing you've given. He said, I'm going to give you a new one, a new command. And he repeats it, just for those taking notes, in John 15, 12. He repeats it. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. You have it? Want to read it?
Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a offering and sacrifice.
Very good. Very good. Now, this also tells us where to, first in verse 1, imitators of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to imitate someone? Yes, be like them. And they give us an example of what God did to show us his love, and it was Christ died for us, which is sacrificial. Then he says, the first thing he says in verse 2 is to do what? Is to what? Walk in this love. That word walk means your character being changed so that no matter where you go, who you see, you're asking the Lord, okay, Lord, show me, is there anyone in this situation you want to show your love to? That's walking it out. Going to school, to your enemies, whoever God's saying to you. So it's past even our own families. God wants us to get to the place that it becomes a part of our character. So much so that no matter where we go, we can show that kind of love to someone else. Okay, I'd asked my kids, and they got that panic look on their face. Earlier today, my kids have come to the place that they can lay down their lives for one another. They learn to sacrifice themselves for one another. But that means what? Say it louder.
Loving themselves.
They've come to love themselves. So you come up here, three kidlets. So, being kidlets you are, that they are, I wanted them to share tonight with you how they came to the place that knowing God loves them so that they can love one another. Okay, so I want them tonight to give some examples. Oh, thank you, Pastor. That's exactly what Daniel wanted.
Okay, so the first time I knew God's love.
Lloyd?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not on that yet, Lloyd.
It's not on yet.
There's two switches.
It's on.
It's on.
There's two switches.
Testing.
Two switches? Is the one in the bottom or something?
No, it's on. It's off. It says it's on? Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't loud enough. The first time I knew God loved me was kindergarten. We were picking teams or something, and I didn't get chosen. And, you know, you're a little kid that ruins your day, so I came home bawling. And my mom said to me, you know, They may not have chosen you, but God chose you.
Amen.
So as a little kid, that meant pretty much everything to me. And then
Wait.
Sorry.
Now, parents, what did he say? Parents.
He said he came home, and you brought God into the situation, and you, I guess, opened the door for God's love. I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. What I did now, kindergarten, what I did when this happened, I saw him crying. I knew something was up, so I told him to tell me about his day, and this is the incident. He told me about his day, and I knew when he wasn't picked, he had what A not met?
Affiliation.
Parents?
Affiliation.
Louder.
Affiliation.
What does that mean?
To feel like you belong.
Not chosen. He wasn't chosen. So I knew he had pain from that experience at school. And so, prayed with him and let him know that God did. I not only told him God loved him, that God had chosen him. That no one else picked him, but God chose him. So I even met the very specific need that was lacking in Daniel's life. It doesn't take age. We all need to know that we are chosen by God. Because God's love is the only thing that can touch the pain that you and I have. No one else can touch it. People can't touch it. The only one that could have touched it. I didn't go back to school to beat up on those kids that didn't pick on my kid and choose him for the gang, because, bless God, my natural Diane would have wanted to do that. I'd gone and seen that teacher. You know what you're creating in your school? Kindergarten. Bless God. But I didn't do that because I was discovering that the pain can only be healed inside. Okay? Any other example you have?
That's how I love myself, right? And then how I love myself is that I can joke around and laugh at myself when I make mistakes, and I used to beat myself up about it, and now I can laugh and joke and, you know, realize it's just me and there's nothing I can do about it until God does something. So. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Amen.
We now love you. You've done well.
Daniel grew up a little healthier than me. It took me years to know God loved me.
Yep.
He had to first heal a lot of pain. Especially being a melancholic, I never heard anything positive in my life. So I first had to heal all the pain before I could even begin to hear that he loved me, before I could even love myself to love these guys. So once he began to heal all the pain of just the abuse and the hurt from growing up, then I could begin to hear him call me his Lily. And even then, I didn't believe it. I had to start repenting for my unbelief. I didn't have the talents that my, you know, I grew up comparing myself to mom and my grandparents and my brothers because I didn't have the talents and the gifts that they had. And I didn't believe that he loved me just because he made me the way he made me. And I had to keep repenting for my unbelief. And when I began to repent for my unbelief is when he began to show me, and when I began to believe it, that I'm his Lily and I'm his precious one. So once that was healed, it was easy loving them.
Okay, now what were some key words she said? Because we're going to be praying for ourselves tonight. What was some things she said that brought this reality to her of how much God loved her? Yes. I got a different color now because this is. She repented for what? Absolutely. Her unbelief was what? What didn't she believe? Because inside, why couldn't she believe it?
She didn't love herself.
Huh?
She didn't love herself.
Yeah, why couldn't she believe that? What did she say she needed done inside her? I heard the word. I don't know who said it. She needed to be healed. Now, how many of you did not have this at kindergarten? Hi. You got it at kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I did.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
No. No, how many? Yeah, mine are. Me too, brother. Yes, we didn't get it. So what do we need tonight? We need healing. And we need him to begin to show us, even as far back as kindergarten, where it started, because he wants to walk in those places. No one else can. Mom can't, Dad can't, I can't. Only Jesus tonight can come in and begin to minister that love deep inside you, because once it's here, honey, we're a done deal. It's done. You have no doubt, no question from now on. The confidence she could say tonight, miracle. The day she couldn't have done that because she would have been sitting up here beating herself and she couldn't even gotten the words out. It took the healing of the Lord in her life to do that. And that's what he wants to do for us tonight. He wants to heal us. That we have between brothers and sisters, moms and dads, friends. How do your friends treat you? They can't not reject you because they don't love themselves. So why do you expect them to love you? They don't know how to. They're hurting themselves. Everyone at your school, if they don't have a love of God inside them real, they come every day hurting, broken, wounded, and then they go to school. In this wonderful school, we meet our friends, and they wound us again and hurt us again. We glad we go to school. Then we go to church. Isn't that fun? And there are cliques. Things are said, talked about. I know that doesn't happen here. But yeah, okay. And then we go home thinking, God, we went to church because that was a lot of fun. And she used another word. It was a C word. Remember what she said, the C word?
Choice.
She did it with her brother and sister? I mean her brothers?
Compare.
Now, I know you guys don't do that. You've never compared yourself to anybody else. Dimitri, have you ever compared yourself to somebody?
Yes.
What does compare mean? Oops, I'm going to put healing up there. That's the biggie. What does compare mean?
It means like to put your bad and good against someone else.
Yeah, that's excellent. You need to stand up and say that louder because your parents, these adults out here need to hear that because that's what they do all the time. Loud. Clear it out, because it's right on.
What
a thing. It was very good what she said. Sit down, I don't want to embarrass you.
It means to put your bad and good against someone else.
See, you remember? Come on, you did it. Very well done. Come on, I'm with you.
It means to put your bad and good against someone else.
And what do we usually, those of you that are healthy and wonderful, you'll use your good and compare and think, well, that person had a real problem with that, and that person had a real problem with that, and boy, they don't look like I look. Here I come. Or our, our negatives, and we have those, and what do we do with our negatives? I know you're helping her spell it. Did I spell it wrong? Oh, I haven't put it up on the board. I am getting there. Okay, I will help you out. Here we go. Sorry about that, kids. There we go. Okay? Yeah, you can write it down. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Where was I?
Negative.
Yeah, thank you. Negatives. Take our negatives, and of course, we look at someone else and shoot. Look at that person. Michelle compared herself in what area? You remember? Her talents. She wasn't it talents? Okay, I thought I heard right. Did they do everything and she doesn't do anything? How else do we compare ourselves besides talents? Huh?
Our looks.
Yes, say it louder.
Our looks?
Yes. Yes. We look at other people and we say, and when we look at other people, are we happy they look that way and we don't look that way? No. And that's when we do what Pastor this morning talked about. We talk and we gossip and we slander and we go, who does she think she is? Or who does he think he is? And of course we do it because we love them, don't we? Okay. Were you done? You did well, madam. You guys can sit down since you're done. You don't stand up here and stare at everybody. Okay.
Okay, well, I had kind of a long process towards getting to love my neighbor. I was very, very angry.
First, how you love yourself.
Well, I had a long process to get there.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you how. I had to start at step one because I came from a family that professed Christianity, went to church every Sunday, said all the right things, and my father beat me and played a game, and so I was mad at God. I had to play this game, and there was expectations put on me about all these things I should do, and I saw the hypocrisy, and the last thing I wanted to be was what I saw. And so I had to start off the first one. I didn't love God for a long time. I mean, I loved Him, but I loved a lot of other things more. I mean, that's the one blessing that I can say is God always had that still, quiet voice. It always wooed me, and it was always in the back of my mind, but I rebelled against it because I saw so many things that had hurt me. So I had to start there, and it was this process of finding out who God was, because I looked a lot of places to find what God was or what He wasn't. I tested all the things that they said shouldn't be tested, really searching for God's heart. I did it a lot of wrong ways, but I was searching for God's heart. And in the process of doing that, one of the things that happens in that process is you do some damage to yourself. And after I found God again and began to realize who He was, one of the hardest things I had to do was forgive myself. Because so many things about what we're taught is you do things or you are somebody and you're always that way. You'll always be an alcoholic, you'll always be this, you'll always be that. And so you have a hard time forgiving yourself because you feel like that you're not going to change and you're going to do it again and there's going to be problems with you the rest of your life, poor me. So I had a long walk with God and myself. But it took a lot of discovery. It's seeking the name of God and finding out who He is, the eternal one that can wipe you clean so that you're free and free indeed. And then when you finally are free, you can begin to look at yourself through God's eyes and say, I'm not that person I used to be. And I know some people in this audience can identify that with this. But that last process of forgiving myself was the last one to go. And then once that happened, then I could start looking towards the outside, and there was still pain there. People around me that I still had issue with. But because of the journey that I had taken and the process the Lord had taken me through, I understood where they were. And I understood how they could do the things that they did because I did a lot of them. And I guess the one thing that I can say is that I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. I don't need that. Okay. What did you hear him saying?
It was a process.
It's a process. And where did he start? Where'd he start? He hated God. Why did he hate God? Because how many of you know the story that we're talking about in that wonderful way? We were talking about my first marriage, my first husband. You all do know that, right? Anyone here not know that? Oh, you don't know that. Okay. Michelle and David are from my first marriage. Daniel's from my second. That's why Daniel can't relate to what the kids they say because they didn't live it. In my first marriage, we were actually pastors of a church. And the gift got honored. We could minister from the pulpit. He would preach and teach and then go home and beat me and the kids. And that's what my two children lived through. Till they were in fourth and fifth grade. I'd been married 11 years, and then the Lord said finally I could go. And the only reason He said I could go because He got to the place so severe in His abuse that He had guns in the house. And at one time when He was really angry, He threatened with the gun, and I knew next time He'd use it. So it was really life-threatening. It wasn't because I wanted to go or chose to go. And the big word that David used was the H word. You remember the H word? Huh? We were hypocrites. And how God opened that up to me is in Timothy. It talks about the hypocrites seduce away from the faith. And the Lord said to me, you being a hypocrite, living one life at church and another at home, were seducing my children from the true faith in God. So after I left that marriage and I was on my own, I went to my children. I said, I need to repent to you because our hypocrisy has seduced you from the true God. The God you saw was not the real God. We gave you a God that played games, did manipulate, did pretend, and we lived one thing here and another there. And I would hate God too. And I agree with you, I would hate God too. And I said, I'm repenting to you, and I'm going to ask God to begin to show you and me his love. Because I didn't feel it either. And I watched God did, and this is what God had to do. But parents, I had to start taking responsibility for where I was, real, sick and dysfunctional in my home. It was no longer any game. I wasn't playing a game anymore. I was not going to play a game. When I got real angry, I started repenting for my anger. When I started doing things, arguing, and the things that were of first Adam, I started repenting. If you don't model repentance to your children, they won't repent. They have to see it from you, the adult. Anytime you're in your carnal nature, your first Adam, you need to repent to them because you need to know they're watching you. And you're training them how to behave. In the first marriage, when my first husband would get angry with me and mad, he would go for my throat. And he did a lot of other things, but that was a common one. And when I left that marriage and we were on our own and we were in a situation, Michelle came screaming to me and she said, I'm afraid of my life. Because when David gets angry with me, he goes for my throat. He learned it well. I didn't know he ever saw it. Honestly, I did not believe he saw it, but he did, obviously. And he learned it well. Now, do you think my ex sat down and said, now I want to teach you how to treat a woman? This is what you do? Did he do that?
No.
No, he didn't do that. His behavior did it. And the kids just watched and unconsciously said, when you get angry, this is what you get to do to keep someone controlled, to keep someone down. He just translated what he saw and came to conclusions. And it didn't take long afterwards. We didn't have to wait 10 years when he got married. It came out months later. I thank God for it. But I discovered that when I dealt with my anger, I discovered I was angry because I was in a lot of pain. All my anger came from pain. I felt hurt, wounded. I felt outsmarted. I found like 6 reasons in Scripture. All of them having to do with anger, but anger was never the first issue. It was always something that started it, an A, that brought the anger. And as God began to heal my anger, I had an answer for my son to bring healing to him, to set him free from himself. That's the story of the first marriage and how God began to heal us so that we could begin to love ourselves. And his journey to love himself, the second thing he said he had to do was what? Forgive himself. We can be hard on ourselves. Oh, shoot, you did it again. Stupid. Should have known better than that. You guys ever talk to yourself when you do something that's not quite right? Or am I the only one that talks to myself that I wasn't really wonderful? And it's not being crazy. Then we just talk to ourselves and say, well, I shouldn't have done that. Shoot, I shouldn't have done it. Now, do you think of forgiving yourself? Then in our mind, does it? Guys, think of forgiving yourself? When's the last time you forgave yourself? You remember the last time you forgave yourself?
I've never forgiven myself.
Louder.
I've never forgiven myself.
I've never forgiven myself. I have never forgiven myself. These are your children. We need to be able to forgive ourselves. Hard to do, isn't it? Yeah. How did you start forgiving yourself, David? You remember?
Just going back to the love of God.
You would go to what?
Just be back to loving God when I saw how He saw me.
When he saw how God saw him, he began to forgive himself. You know what I was thinking tonight? Because we don't know how to forgive ourselves. Why don't we ask Jesus to help us when we have our prayer time? We need help, don't we? We don't know how to forgive ourselves. Maybe some of you do. Can you forgive yourself? No. Yanni? Didn't know you had to.
It's not something you think of. You know, it's like, you know, people tell you, forgive others before you can.
Forgive others before you forgive yourself. You don't even think of forgiving yourself. Look, it was a key to his healing, that he could forgive himself. Not to forgive himself, begin to place you laugh at yourself and say, wow, that's what I do. Can't do that till we can forgive ourselves. Been able to forgive yourself? You? Good. Glad you can. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. Sounds like a key point tonight, parents. Kids don't know how to forgive themselves. Okay, I should ask you adults, know how to forgive yourself? It's tough. We learned it when we're older. We got kids here, it's tough. It's not something I think of right away. You need to know, it's not an automatic thing that you think about forgiving yourself. What's automatic is I shouldn't have done that again. And I can receive it here, but how many times have I forgotten to forgive myself? I'm guilty of it too. I should add that. Compare. We need to repent for being hypocrite. You guys have to write this down in your note because you're going to forget. Yeah, I'm not advocating comparing yourself. Very good point. Don't. Thank you very much. Okay, we have only 20 minutes left. We need to pray. Yes, Michelle.
I just want to make the point.
Stand up. Tell everybody.
I just wanted to make the point that we weren't so spiritual. We had this great revelation, and all of a sudden, I just knew how to do this.
Say it louder.
I'm just saying that we weren't that spiritual that all of a sudden I had this great revelation and I knew how to walk this out. It was only as you got healed, God gave you revelation that you turned around and showed us how to do it. It wasn't like I just woke up one day and, oh, I need healing. It was only because we had support and she said, this is what you need to do. And it wasn't like...
Say it to the parents. Say it to the parents. Are you hearing it?
They're not going to get it on their own.
And they can write it down tonight, but that's one reason why, parents, it's not enough for me to minister kids at camp. I need to minister to you. Because we're no different. In fact, we're probably worse off than our kids because we didn't get it at this age. Did we? Tony, did you get it at this age? No, I didn't. Yes.
There's some adults here in this church that are still learning, and I'm one of them, to forgive myself. And I know there's some brothers when we get together to pray. And I always thought I was stupid all my life. Mm-hmm. Until recently. Very recently, and I have my brothers, you know, I don't want to put them in the spot where they are, but, you know, learning to forgive, you know, it's something that I haven't accomplished yet. I haven't mastered that yet, but I will. I know that.
I know.
But I know I'm not stupid anymore.
Hallelujah.
I know that for a fact. And yes. I'm learning that, because a few adults in here that feel the same way, and we need healing, not just the children.
Absolutely. That's why I'm doing it tonight for all of us. I could have just done this at camp. This is for all of us. We all need it. That's why I did the subject for church tonight, is we need to know the love of God. All of us do. And I had my kids minister to you because I want you to know how you get it. We had to walk it out. We had to allow the Lord to deal with me, and then me consistently begin to minister to my children. But it starts with the big R word. Repent. Repent. Acknowledge what we have done so that we model repentance to our children, and it becomes an automatic thing for them to repent and then come to us and repent. We need healing. We need Jesus to touch us tonight and heal us. And not just tonight. What I want to do tonight is I want to get... Yes, David.
I was going to say, on self-forgiveness, one of the things...
Stand up so they all can hear you.
For self-forgiveness, one of the things you can repent for is self-judgment. You're taking the place of God's judgment.
Very good. Did you hear it? Can you hear this? Front row, did you hear David? What did he say? And what does that mean? Yeah. Right color, it doesn't matter.
God created us and said we were good.
You what?
You hold it against yourself, but God doesn't.
Nothing separates you from His love, even your sin. Either he meant it or he didn't mean it. I mean, he's not a liar. He wants us to experience that agape every moment, because it's being poured out to you every moment. It's growing inside of you every moment. The Holy Spirit's inside saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You might say it differently to each one of you, but... He's talking to us, wanting us to know. Jesus is saying, I love you, I love you, I care for you, I love you, you're special to me. I forgive you. I want to heal you. He's saying it all the time. Okay, you guys ready to repent? Know what you're repenting for? Know what you're repenting for? Shake your head, even if you don't. And I'm going to lead in it, okay? Do you know what it means when I lead in it? I'm going to help you repent. Okay, so when I'm repenting, I want you to say, I agree, I agree. And at the end, when we get the whole thing done, you remember at camp what we would say to say amen? Remember the word we learned? Yes. Who said that? Because it was really, that's it. That's our word. Okay, so when we get done and I give you the high sign, who said who over here? Did you say it? You, okay, then you're the one that gets to. And there was, okay, back here. I don't know which one of your sons said it. Oh, yeah, come on, you can join him. Now, which one are you? Your name?
Isaac.
Okay, I just didn't want to call you the wrong thing. Okay, Isaac, you and Dimitri, come on. When I get done, I'm going to give you to the high sign. Now, you guys watch him. Now, what I want your kids to do is, you know what, remember what Stan did so that they did it when he wanted to? He went, remember when he did that? Okay, so, there. Do you want to do it or you want to do it? You want to do the, he wants to do it. You just volunteered, honey. So when I get done, I'm going to look at you. Thinking, I want you to go real high in the air. So they over there. You see your dad over there? Okay, you do it high enough that he can see you, okay? You stick your hand in the air. Now, can you see that hand, Dad? Okay, then I want you to do one, two, get the three up. We're getting number three up. And then when we see this, what are we all going to do? That's what we're going to do. Okay, relax. Okay. I'm going to lead in prayer and repentance, okay? Because we're asking God tonight to start the work. Now we need Him, Lord. We need You. We thank You, Lord, that You're here with Your love. We're not separated from it, even though we feel it. Our insides are in a lot of hurt, pain, unforgiveness. We've compared everything that's been said tonight, Lord, we've done. So we come before You. And we repent for our unbelief. We don't believe it, Lord. Our brain does, but our insides don't because of our pain. We've compared. Those of us that have been hypocrites, we've judged. We repent for our judgment, Lord. We have judged ourselves. We repent for that, Lord. We repent for being a hypocrite. Those of us that have been a hypocrite tonight, Lord, we repent. We don't want to be. We don't want to say one thing and live another. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us not be that. We repent, parents, for modeling to our children behavior that they're learning that's not of You, not of Your character. Forgive us, Lord. We don't want to do that. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Lord, we need Your healing touch. And right now, tonight, You know the pain we're sitting in. In all those places we've been rejected and wounded, where we've been compared, where we've been laughed at, where we weren't chosen. When we are left or abandoned, we're hurting, Jesus. We need You to touch us. We need You to minister Your love to us tonight. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that through Christ's atoning work at Calvary, You can begin to give us that love inside us. You can begin to show us those things in our lives that have wounded us, that You want to heal, that, Jesus, You want to walk into and minister Your healing. We confess tonight, Lord, we have turned to a lot of substitutes for healing. We've turned to a lot of things but You. We repent for being mad at You, God, because we've seen hypocrisy. We repent for that, Lord. We don't want to serve that God. We want to serve the real, the true and living God that does heal, that is honest, doesn't manipulate, doesn't control, doesn't play a game. Oh, God, help us not play the game. Help us be real to our brothers and sisters, real to our friends, real to our children. Help us, Lord. I thank You. God Almighty, this is Your nature. This is Your nature, and You so pant after us tonight. You desire this because it's You, it's Your heart. And Lord, we repent for not being able to forgive ourselves, for not even thinking about it, not knowing we were even supposed to or could. Forgive us, Lord. We need Your help. We don't know how to forgive ourselves. But tonight we choose to forgive ourselves. Help us do that, Lord. Show us how to. Remind us, Holy Spirit, to forgive ourselves when we judge ourselves, when we're hard on ourselves, when we beat ourselves up, when we talk negative to ourselves. And also, Lord, teach us to forgive others when they hurt us, when they wound us, when they're the hypocrite. Help us, Lord, to walk in this love You're talking about. We don't know how to love our neighbors, Lord, because we don't love ourselves. Our friends don't know how to love us because they don't love themselves. Forgive us for expecting others to love us, Lord. Yes. They can't. They can't, Lord. Not unless You heal them and touch them and give them Your love. They can't. Forgive us for expecting brotherly love without first finding that love in You first. And helping them discover that love in You first. Forgive us, Lord, for putting rules and regulations on others they can't do until You love them and enable them to do it by Your Spirit, by Your power. Oh, we have humbled ourselves before you tonight and say, Lord, we need you. We thank you that nothing has separated us from your love. But the truth is, Lord, we've been blind to it. We've been pained away from it. Can't realize it. Can't understand it. And enable us in the days ahead, Lord, to know you're speaking. I love you. I love you. I love you. This isn't separating you from me. This isn't separating you from me. Oh, give us ears to hear. We sang it tonight, Lord, that you would open our ears, open our eyes to see. We want to know and hear you. You promised this in your scripture, Lord. We're asking you to make it real in our experience. We cry out for it tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, you died at Calvary, and the power of the cross is ours tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your blood. It is a true drink, and I confess it tonight. Not as you, only is your blood able to defeat the dragon, but it is able tonight to cleanse us, to begin the healing process. So we yield to that blood of the Lamb. Because we have confessed our sins, Lord, we thank you. You are faithful, you are merciful, you are just, not only to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us. Do your cleansing work tonight, Lord. We need your healing. Your blood is the one that heals. Bathe us in your blood tonight, Lord. Do a work only your blood can do. Wash us, Lord. Wash us in your blood. Wash us. Renew us. Refresh us in your blood. We don't have to understand it, Lord. We just have to yield to it and say yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the power of Calvary. Okay, Isaac, are you ready? Stick your hand up real high. Wait till everyone sees it. Make sure their eyes are open. One, two, three. Got to do it again. One. Okay, you come up, and we're going to close with the power of the blood. Thank you. We're going to stand, and we're going to sing the power of the blood. The song. There's power, power, wonder, working power. And any one of them, that'd be fine. That's the one that came to my brain, but I don't know what other one there is. Power, power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Where's our flaggers? There's got to be blood flags. Right? Where are our blood flags?
Can I have permission to use white?
Huh?
Can I have permission
Yes.
Yes. You can. Mine are screwed on.
Got it. No problem. White is fine. Yeah, thank you. Yay, power in the blood. Oops, I don't want this on. You can have that, sir.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Okay, ready? One, two, three.